called it.
She uttered a shaky, semi-hysterical laugh. Tad looked up.
Mommy?
Nothing, hon. She looked at the dark maw of the garage barn, then at the back door of the house. Locked, unlocked, locked, unlocked. She thought of a coin rising in the air, flipping over and over. She thought of whirling the chamber drum of a pistol, five holes empty, one full. Locked, unlocked. The sun went down, and what was left of the day was a white line painted on the western horizon. It looked no thicker than the white stripe painted on the center of the highway. That would be gone soon enough. Crickets sang in the high grass to the right of the driveway, making a mindlessly cheerful rickety-rickety sound. Cujo was still in the barn. Sleeping, she wondered. Eating? That made her remember that she had packed them some food. She crawled between the two front buckets and got the Snoopy lunchbox and her own brown bag. Her thermos had rolled all the way to the back, probably when the car had started to buck and jerk coming up the road. She had to stretch, her blouse coming untucked, before she could hook it with her fingers. Tad, who had been in a half-doze, stirred awake. His voice was immediately filled with a sharp fright that made her hate the damn dog even more.
Mommy, Mommy, what are you?
Just getting the food, she soothed him. And my thermos, see?
Okay.
He settled back into his seat and put his thumb in his mouth again. She shook the big thermos gently beside her ear, listening for the grating sound of broken glass. She only heard milk swishing around inside. That was something, anyhow.
Tad, you want to eat?
I want to take a nap,
he said around his thumb, not opening his eyes. You gotta feed the machine, chum, she said. He didn't even smile.
Not hungry. Sleepy.
She looked at him, troubled, and decided it would be wrong to force the issue any further. Sleep was Tad's natural weapon, maybe his only one, and it was already half an hour past his regular bedtime. Of course, if they had been home, he would have had a glass of milk and a couple of cookies before brushing his teeth, and a story, one of his Mercer Mayer books, maybe, and... She felt the hot sting of tears and tried to push all those thoughts away. She opened her thermos with shaky hands and poured herself half a cup of milk. She set it on the dashboard and took one of the fig bars. After one bite, she realized she was absolutely ravenous. She ate three more fig bars, drank some milk, popped four or five of the green olives, then drained her cup. She burped gently, and then looked more sharply at the barn. There was a darker shadow in front of it now, except it wasn't just a shadow. It was the dog. It was Cujo. He's standing watch over us. No, she didn't believe that. Nor did she believe she had seen a vision of Cujo in a pile of blankets stacked in her son's closet. She didn't, except part of her did, but that part wasn't in her mind. She glanced up into the rearview mirror at where the road was. It was too dark now to see it, but she knew it was there, just as she knew that nobody was going to go by. When they had come out that other time with Vic's Jag, all three of them, the dog was nice then, her brain muttered. The Tatter patted him and laughed, remember? Laughing it up and having a great old time. Vic had told her that until 5 years ago, the Castle Rock dump had been out at the end of town road number 3. Then the new waste treatment plant had gone into operation on the other side of town. And now, a quarter of a mile beyond the Camber place, the road simply ended at a place where a heavy chain was strung across it. The sign which hung from the chain read, "No trespassing, dump closed." Beyond Camber's, there was just no place to go. Donna wondered if maybe some people in search of a really private place to go parking might not ride by, but she couldn't imagine that even the horniest of local kids would want a neck at the old town dump. At any rate, no one had passed yet. The white line on the western horizon had faded to a bare afterglow now, and she was afraid that even that was mostly wishful thinking. There was no moon. Incredibly, she felt drowsy herself. Maybe sleep was her natural weapon, too. And what else was there to do? The dog was still out there. At least she thought it was. The darkness had gotten just deep enough to make it hard to tell if that was the real shape or just a shadow. The battery had to rest. Then she could try again. So why not sleep? package on his mailbox. That package from J.C. Whitney. She sat up a little straighter, a puzzled frown creasing her brow. She turned her head. But from here, the front corner of the house blocked her view of the mailbox. But she had seen the package, hung from the front of the box. Why had she thought of that? Did it have some significance? She was still holding the Tupperware dish with the olives and slices of cucumbers inside, each wrapped neatly in saran wrap. Instead of eating anything else, she carefully put the white plastic cover on the Tupperware dish and stowed it back in Tad's lunchbox. She did not let herself think much about why she was being so careful of the food. She settled back in the bucket seat and found the lever that tipped it back. She meant to think about the package hooked over the mailbox. There was something there. She was almost sure of it. But soon her mind had slipped away to another idea, one that took on the bright tones of reality as she began to doze off. The Cambers had gone to visit relatives. Their relatives were in some town that was 2, maybe 3 hours' drive away. Kennebunk, maybe, or Hollis, or Augusta. It was a family reunion. Her beginning-to-dream mind saw a gathering of 50 people or more on a green lawn of TV commercial size and beauty. There was a fieldstone barbecue pit with a shimmer of heat over it. At a long trestle table, there were at least 4 dozen people passing platters of corn on the cob and dishes of home-baked beans, pea beans, soldier beans, red kidney beans. There were plates of barbecued franks. Donna's stomach made a low goinging sound at this vision. On the table was a homely checked tablecloth. All this was being presided over by a lovely old woman with pure white hair that had been rolled into a bun at the nape of her neck. Fully inserted into the capsule of her dream now, Donna saw with no surprise at all that this woman was her mother. The Cambers were there, but they weren't really the Cambers at all. Joe Camber looked like Vic in a clean Sears work coverall, and Mrs. Camber was wearing Donna's green watered silk dress. Their boy looked the way Tad was going to look when he was in the 5th grade.
Mommy?
The picture wavered, started to break up. She tried to hold on to it because it was peaceful and lovely. The archetype of a family life she had never had. The type she and Vic would never have with their one planned child and their carefully programmed lives. With sudden rising sadness, she wondered why she had never thought of things in that light before.
Mommy?
The picture wavered again and began to darken. That voice from outside, piercing the vision, the way a needle may pierce the shell of an egg. Never mind. The Cambers were at their family reunion, and they would pull in later, around 10, happy and full of barbecue. Everything would be all right. The Joe Camber with Vic's face would take care of everything. Everything would be all right again. There were some things that God never allowed. It would...
Mommy!
She came out of the doze, sitting up, surprised to find herself behind the wheel of the Pinto, instead of at home in bed, but only for a second. Already the lovely, surreal image of the relatives gathered around the trestle picnic table were beginning to dissolve. And in 15 minutes, she would not even remember that she had dreamed.
Huh? What?
Suddenly, shockingly, the phone inside the Camber's house began to ring. The dog rose to its feet, moving shadows that resolved themselves into its large and ungainly form.
Mommy, I have to go to the bathroom.
Cujo began to roar at the sound of the telephone. He was not barking, he was roaring. Suddenly he charged at the house. He struck the back door hard enough to shake it in its frame. No, she thought sickly. Oh, no, stop, please, stop.
Mommy, I have to...
The dog was snarling, biting at the wood of the door. She could hear the sick splintering sounds its teeth made.
Go wee-wee.
The phone rang 6 times, 8 times, 10. Then it stopped. She realized she had been holding her breath. She let it out through her teeth in a low, hot sigh. Cujo stood at the door, his back paws on the ground, his forepaws on the top step. He continued to growl low in his chest, a hateful, nightmarish sound. At last, he turned and looked at the Pinto for a time. Donna could see the dried foam caked on his muzzle and chest. Then he padded back into the shadows and grew indistinct. It was impossible to tell exactly where he went. In the garage, maybe, or maybe down the side of the barn. Tad was tugging desperately at the sleeve of her shirt.
Mommy, I have to go bad.
She looked at him helplessly.